104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This will be Animatronic Dinosaurs, Season 3, Episode 3. I'm Allie Rosen, joined by
Matt Peters.
Josh Nolan isn't here right now, but he will be here later. Like his usual ridiculous self, he managed to plan more than one thing at this time period. Thank you, Josh. We still love you, man. We have a very unstructured show for you guys today. It's been a weirdly uneventful yet eventful week. There's been new trailers. We're going to definitely talk about what the heck happened at the Oscars. So let's just jump right into that. What the heck happened at the Oscars?
You tell me, man. Oh my goodness. I was sitting there in shock.
I got like 7 texts from people the moment that happened. And I was watching the online stream, so I was down maybe a minute or two. Mm. And so La La Land gets the win. And I'm sitting there, I text my dad, it looks like La La Land won. And he just sends back, wait for it. And I go, what? And then you start seeing stuff happening. Yeah. Like, oh my God, there is no way. So for all of you who missed the Oscars and then somehow missed everything that, like, all the news outlets covering it, for the first time in Oscar history, an Oscar was flubbed. They gave it to the wrong people.
This actually did happen once before, but it was not for a major award. It was one of the smaller ones where they mixed up envelopes. But this was a long time ago, and this was definitely the most high-profile one.
Well, because it was Best Picture. Like, how do you
closing the show?
Oh. How do you manage to do that?
I have no idea. There's a lot of pictures backstage of the accountant having the two envelopes and his phone on top of it. So people are saying he was like tweeting, put them down, mixed them up.
So what are your thoughts on there are allegations that they did this on purpose?
No, I don't believe that. I think the guy just had a screw up, but it was really, really like a dramatic moment.
Yes.
Because everyone thought La La Land was gonna win. It's not like it was like, say, Hacksaw Ridge, something that people didn't think was gonna win. This was like a 2-horse race. They gave it to the one and then the actual winner.
I was pulling for a Manchester by the Sea win there, but
were you?
Yeah, I actually was expecting Moonlight to win.
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed when they said La La Land. Like, yeah, I hit my couch. I was like, "Darn it!" But then all that stuff.
Like, what happened here?
Yeah, when the guy's like, "Wait, we didn't win Moonlight. This is yours." I thought he was being gracious and like, but I don't understand why he would be doing
that. I think that was like that was the moment of the night that he's like, "Yeah, no, we didn't win. Here, Moonlight. This is it." And then he like grabs the envelope and flips it over and says, "Moonlight, Best Picture." And I was like,
"I love that producer."
Yeah,
yeah. He handled it like it was an episode of something.
Or the camera guy who was ready as this is going on. He figured it out. And it's like, and then you see the hold up and he zooms in on the thing. Like, props to you, camera guy.
The whole thing is just hilarious looking back. Like how Warren Beatty like did like triple glances of the envelope and this gives it to the...
It makes so much sense. And then Faye was like, "Warren, stop being dumb."
Poor and there Warren was a Beatty. Lot of... I read something on TMZ, which is like half credible, half not, but that in rehearsals, Faye wanted to read the winner, but Warren wanted to as well. So like while you're watching it, she's sort of like asking for it. And then she just reads the name of the movie, like
La La Land.
And then she splits. She just runs away.
Yeah, she realized she messed up.
Yeah, Warren's
there. She
probably
there, said like, that and then looked down and saw Emma Stone. Like, oops.
You can't blame them.
Dude, I was happy when Warren came out and was like, "This is what happened." Yeah. I was like, "Oh, Warren." This old, poor old man.
I know.
That was entertaining to say the least. But okay, before Josh gets here, because we'll want to save for that small crossover we have, we'll want to save the Oscar talks for him too. What were your overall thoughts about the Oscars? Do you think there was any specific snubs to talk about? I have my own few share, but
I think they did a good job of spreading out the wealth. They gave screenplays to like Manchester,
and the deserved screenplay winner
and actor, which was that was probably the most surprising, but I'm not mad about it because I wanted Casey Affleck, but a lot of people are angry that like Denzel didn't get it.
It wasn't until post, and this is something like, I mean, I will have to, it wasn't something until after I was reading about it, and it's like the whole Gibson thing. So a lot of people are upset with Casey because there's been sexual assault allegations towards him. And yeah. I feel like in the same reason, like, Mel Gibson shouldn't be getting...
Mel Gibson ones weren't allegations. I mean, he's recorded saying those things. Casey Affleck, though, there's no proof. That's the thing.
I mean, still, like, I don't know enough to speak about it, but, like, it made it a little less amazing to me, because, like, I love that performance. I think he gives one of the greatest performances of the last 10 years in any movie. But it loosens the importance of it, just hearing that. And, like, I think he was given the big one was, Brie Larson didn't clap for him when he came up.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, very much
Denzel wasn't clapping either.
Well, Denzel was mad because he didn't get it. I'm like, Denzel, come on. You've already won so many, and you're going to win more because you're just going to do the rest of these stage shows as movies. He got all the rights to them.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he got all the
August Wilson ones?
All the August Wilson ones, and he plans on making all of them and directing, producing, and starring in all of them. So I'm like, Denzel, you're going to win an Oscar for one of those August Wilson plays at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, the Screen Junkies summed that movie up perfectly. Acting. Yeah. With multiple types of acting. Loud acting, nuanced acting.
Snot acting.
I love Screen Junkies. I wish we were well known enough that we could have them on the show. Just message, like, if Mark Ellis was ever, he's not a Screen Junkie, he's a schmo, but if it was like ever he was doing a comedy show, like, hey, we're the local talk show, you should just come on board.
Yeah.
Get these, like, high profile guests whenever they come. There was last year when Roger Ross Williams came to here. I was debating asking if he wanted to come talk on the show, because I think maybe in a year down the road, if we have a big enough outlet and there is some high profile film person on campus, we should see if we can get them. Let's talk about, so you saw OJ Made in America, yeah. Right? What'd you think?
That was great.
Did you see the condensed version though?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How?
It was on ESPN one day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They broadcasted it. It was, I thought it should have won. I haven't seen the other ones, but it was great.
I was entirely backing Life Animated. Hmm. I mean, it's not just because I've met Mr. Ross Williams, but, like, that, I have a friend who's like part of that, and, like, it's a very, very impressive film for what, it's very different from what else we are seeing here. Yeah. Like, a lot of these are like, these documentaries are like about oppression or this like one big thing, and this is like puts a very positive spin on something, and it's not so negative, which a lot of documentaries are. Like, a lot of documentaries consistently are really negative, and Life Animated is very, very positive, and that's why it gets you.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. It was a tough category, the documentary. 13th. Yeah. Got a lot of acclaim as well, and I Am Not Your Negro.
I'm Not Your Negro. They were pushing hard. Yeah. That Oscar push for it. They they pretty much released the entire film online in terms of clips.
Yeah, they did. They just re-released it into like theaters too.
I want to see Fire at Sea as well. I mean, I want to see all of these. Best foreign language film was one that I think was interesting too. The Salesman won, and they did not present. Yes. They didn't present. They didn't. The person who made it didn't show up because of the whole travel ban thing and Trump. And I mean, I think that they were put in a position where they could come, but they wanted to make this like this solidarity with other people.
There were a lot of moments in the show, a lot of political moments.
I think the most political was from Kimmel though, and I thought Kimmel was hilarious.
The Meryl Streep one?
Yeah, like, yeah. Kimmel, I mean, Kimmel handled...
I really liked Kimmel as a host.
It's too bad he's not going to be invited back.
No.
But, like, I mean, I might be... Do you watch the Jimmy Kimmel Live show?
I don't watch the show. I just watch a lot of like YouTube clips.
You should watch the show. Sit down and start like watch the show nightly, because it's really good. That literally is his show.
Yeah.
And it's my dad and I have this constant talk about the Fallon Kimmel, which Jimmy. Oh.
There's like no contest for me. I just got to go Kimmel.
It's like, well, what makes Kimmel so much better is that like Kim, like everyone loves Fallon. Like,
to me, Fallon is fake though. He gets a lot of these like haters online a little bit that like he just tries so hard and it's not genuine laugh. After, but like
he doesn't push anything. He's very, very like Fallon's funny. He's really, all of his bits are funny, but they're not like really funny. They're all just surface level.
Yeah.
And like he is the everyman. Like everyman would like Fallon. Everyone will like him. And then Kimmel is way funnier. But there's a lot of people who don't like Kimmel. Don't find him funny. No.
Yeah, a lot of people got annoyed. They thought there was like too many Matt Damon jokes, but I just enjoyed
it. It's his show. He loves
that. We bought a zoo. Was one of the best. Like,
oh, I loved when he went down into the orchestra pit and started playing the walk off music when Damon came up to present. Yeah. It's like, and
Ben Affleck and guest.
That was so good. And I mean, like Kimmel provides this humor that we'll never see in the Oscars. His humor is so. Like it bounces off of just being unprepared for what's coming, like the tour bus.
True.
That was out of
that
nowhere.
That was one of those bits. Like, did it work? I'm not sure, but it was still interesting.
Oh, I thought it succeeded. Like, at least for me, I was on the floor dying when that was happening.
Like, it was super awkward, and that was the point of it.
I think he got lucky with the people that were there. That like those two,
the
Chicago guy at the very front. Was Gary, I think.
Yeah.
He was at the very front, and that they were just, and like Denzel gets up and marries them. Like, true. That's hilarious.
It was.
It's just bouncing off the fact that stars are unpredictable and that like they'll do ridiculous things for people who were not expecting seeing them. Like when Ryan Gosling just like starts kissing on the cheek every single person who comes by because he's Ryan Gosling. He's a movie star. Or when he has him take a photo of Mahershala's Oscar.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what's so good. It's such a surprise to see him do comedy. I don't think he'd ever work in a movie. Back to the whole movie show thing, but like, I wish they would bring him back. Cause like there were people who just maybe didn't like him, but he wasn't like pissing people off. Like, say, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
And Ellen sucked.
Ellen did suck. She was very boring.
She wasn't interesting at all. And Fallon hosted the Golden Globes and was boring.
Yep. He just had an opening, a La La Land opening, and that was about it.
I mean, that's what he does well. Like, he does these, like, oh, I'm crazy. Like, I'm Jimmy Fallon. And then, Kimmel's like, oh, we're gonna do some mean tweets, throw that in there. True. Apparently, they got so many good ones with Robert De Niro that the next episode of Kimmel Live, he just did only mean tweets for Robert De Niro.
Oh, really?
And it's hilarious.
I gotta see that.
What was Robert De Niro in this year? Outside of Bad Grandpa.
He wasn't in much. He was in The Comedian, which didn't get acclaim.
It was like when...
A good movie of his, he didn't really have much.
Was it DiCaprio came out and was like, I don't think DiCaprio was anything.
No, he wasn't.
That was awesome to see. Like, it was awesome just to see DiCaprio be like, yeah, I got mine. I'm not doing anything this next year. Yeah. And I'm just going to sit and enjoy life. DiCaprio looks like he has a great life.
Oh, yeah. He has that perfect sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's always on a boat.
He doesn't ever look like he is dissatisfied with anything.
True.
I'm taking a class entirely on Martin Scorsese right now, and so there's three people that Scorsese ever works with: Harvey Keitel, Robert De Niro, and Leonardo DiCaprio. We're trying to find that one movie where they're all in it.
One day.
One day. It'll bring all of them back.
Yeah.
With the foreign language film, though, there was talks about, I guess this would be a fun topic to just jump into while we wait for Josh to get here, remakes. So this is something at least that I deal with on a constant basis in the horror world, that, oh, we want to remake this, or here's this great foreign horror film, let's make it. And so like right now they're sitting on a Train to Busan remake, which is just dumb, because I mean, we're going to see this in late April because it's on the faculty film. That's something we can plug. The faculty film series is doing great. Every show, one they've done so far has been great. It's been very successful. The one I'm most looking forward to right now is they're going to round out the very end of the year with Train to Busan, which was one of my favorite movies from last year, easily my favorite foreign language film. But
is it like an action sort of?
It is Snowpiercer meets World War Z.
Oh, wow.
It is one of the most fun I've had. It's my favorite zombie film in years. Like, like in World War Z, they have like that thing with the wall and they're all piling up on top of each other. They do that, but inside of a train.
What?
Yeah. And there's that point where, like, there's a point at where they have to make their way through these cars, and each car is, like, a different, like...
So is it, like, layered on top of each other? Like,
they just take up the entire slot of that cabin. You just can't get... It's so cool. And there's, like in Snowpiercer, like, they've got to get through these sections of the cabin to get forward.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a final scene that's just nuts. Man. And so there's, like, this is great, but now they want to remake it.
I'm not missing that when we show it.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. I don't think anyone should miss that film.
Because the film series is Tuesdays?
Yes, every Tuesday at 7. I don't remember what the one... the current one they're doing is the documentary about the dams.
Hmm.
I want to see that, but I do not have time this Tuesday. No. Too bad, sadly. But yeah, those are all something people should check out. Was it?
So, yeah, wow, they're gonna make that. And then the Tony Erdman.
Tony Erdman, yeah. And that just.
I mean, they are. Jack Nicholson's coming out of retirement to do it
with Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, I just wish he would come out of retirement to do a original.
Yeah, I mean, original. Like, okay, we get sequels. All like I can respect the sequel because no matter what, a sequel is, it's building off of a prior concept or a prior something before, but it is still something new. We're hearing a new story. Yeah. But remakes, it seems like, oh, that's successful, let's make it again. Like, we didn't need I liked the Ghostbusters remake a lot, but we didn't need it.
No.
We really didn't need it.
I just want progression in story. So sequels, yeah, I welcome sequels, but like remakes.
Remakes are just so like, if something's like Life is Beautiful is a great example. There was no remake of that, but that was a foreign film that was nominated for Best Picture.
Mm. And like, I guess this is sort of in the realm, but the Beauty and the Beast movie coming out, that's a remake, but it's in live action.
They're trying something new.
Yeah, but it's still the same exact story. Like,
I've seen reviews of it. I've heard it tries some new things. Like, I love the Jungle Book remake because I feel like it was doing something different. But like, it feels like, what's the catch to these foreign film remakes? Well, they're in English with American actors.
Yeah, it's not even an old film, too. It came out last year. It's one thing, like Jungle Book, the original, is like a lot, like really old.
Yes. So it's been like, it's where Beauty and the Beast has been 25 years, I believe.
Yeah, I can get the appeal to a new generation sort of thing, but when it's a new foreign film and they just want to make it in English, it seems a little lazy.
What was the one? I mean, one of my, I think in my top 20 films of all time is this film from 2008 or 2009 called Let the Right One In. It's a Swedish film, and I think it's the greatest vampire film ever. Sorry, Nosferatu. Like, I respect Nosferatu what it is, but I'd like, this makes Twilight look stupid. Oh, really? And it's a vampire love story, and it's one of my favorite films ever. And they decided to remake it the next year with Chloe Grace Moretz and I forget what guy they had in it, but people hail Let Me In as it's one of the star shines when it comes to an American remake, but I disagree because what Let Me In does is make it scary. And what makes Let the Right One In so good is that it's not about how scary it is. Like, yes, there's some really creepy stuff that goes on in it, but it's not about that. It's about how, like, it's about how this love story blossoms. And yeah, it exists in Let Me In, but it doesn't work so well. And like, even something that that is critically acclaimed as a remake, it still will fail because it's never going to capture what the original did. It's never going to build upon that or make it better.
Yeah. I just wish theaters here would get foreign films.
Yeah.
It's just a business with Hollywood that they're not going to make the profit, but these films should be seen. Like The Salesman, the best foreign film. There's tons of countries who are submitting these films, and there's one that's the winner. Like, it's the best of the rest, and we still haven't seen that here.
Yeah, and we don't get foreign films, I mean, at all. Like, there is, I think I had one chance to see, I had the chance to see Tony Erdman, and I had the chance, I mean, I saw Train to Busan on like, VOD.
Oh, really?
And on top of that, all the foreign films, they get released here early while they're still in theaters on VOD for rental, but they're expensive and there's not a push. Like, there's no trailers for foreign films here unless you go to, like, Landmark.
It's just, like, ridiculous. Over the summer, we had, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in theaters for, like, 13 weeks. You can't tell me you can, like, spare a week of that to put in a good foreign film.
And it'll come down to where you are, because I think, if you live in a city, you will get them. Like, if you go, in San Francisco, we have too many to count, but we have at least the exact same amount of indie film centers that we do blockbuster centers. And I end up finding myself at these indie centers so much more during the winter and these blockbuster centers so much more during the summer. And so, I mean, I've seen the trailer for The Salesman 3 or 4 times in theaters.
Oh, you have?
Just from like when I saw, I think I saw it when I saw Nocturnal Animals. I saw it when I saw Moonlight. Saw multiple times. Like you go see these ones, but then the wider audience that needs to see it. This was a weird year too, because La La Land and is accessible by people. Yeah. Lion has been accessible by people, weirdly.
Yeah.
Hidden Figures has. I think La La Land passed that 100 million mark. So did Hidden Figures, which is like insane for an Oscar movie.
Yeah. When I was in London, there were a lot of small films that got more release. And so there was this film, I, Daniel Blake. Not sure if you heard of it, but it was a British film. And it showed how like the healthcare system is like really flawed over there and how it like favors the rich. That was a great one. But here, it got such a little release. And it's still like the issues over there do happen here. So just, I wish they would expand there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already jealous of the people in the UK that they get to see Alien Covenant a week before we do.
Yeah.
It means that if we lived in the UK, we could have seen it all together, but now it's going to be the week after school ends. I cannot tell you. Let's jump into that then. That's while we're waiting for Josh. I'm sure me and Josh will talk about it later in the show, but trailers. So many trailers dropped this week. Let's jump into the one that I posted on Facebook. Like, it's a great day when the two movies you have as your most anticipated of the year, like the top two, drop their new trailer in the same day.
Yeah.
Like, let's start with Pirates of the Caribbean, because I think that's the least important.
It is the least important.
But still, it's like, when that trailer dropped, I sat down and watched, I threw this on in the background from what I was doing. I was working on like a script or something, and I threw on, Curse the Black Pearl in the background. And I was like, this movie's really good. But what are your thoughts? Are we going to get a good one?
I trust Javier Bardem as a villain. So I think there will be an added element of new to the series, even though it's sort of hard to keep track at this point. But like, this seems dark. It seems like it's going to be a new chapter. I'm feeling good about it, mainly because of Bardem.
What has me worried is, so like, what makes the common thought, what makes, and it, you can tell rewatching Black Pearl why it's this good. What makes Black Pearl so good is that Depp isn't the lead. Like, it's not Jack Sparrow's movie. It's about the Turners. It's about Will Turner and Emma Swan, and it's like, that's Elizabeth Swan. Wow, I just literally watched this movie. But they don't get that in the second and third ones, because everyone's always looking for Jack Sparrow. And what makes me, worries me about this one is someone's looking for Jack Sparrow again.
Yep.
It's literally the plot of two and three is they're looking for that Davy Jones wants Jack Sparrow. And I never even saw the fourth one, but my guess is it's that Blackbeard wants Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
No one, like, the first one, it wasn't about them wanting to get Jack Sparrow. They wanted Will Turner. They wanted the son of Bootstrap Bill, who we then learn is a pirate on the Flying Dutchman. However, the look of this looks good.
Yeah, and this is probably not going to be the last one, so I don't think they're marketing like that. Because I can see them returning to a previous story because it's the final chapter, but I don't think that's the direction they're going in. It does look a lot like the previous,
yeah,
like you said, the stories, but...
And I'm also worried that Bardem and Bardem's ship, and like their, it looks, so they did skeletons in the first one, and in the second one they just made fish skeletons, and this one they look like they're just ghost skeletons.
Yeah.
What's gonna, like, it doesn't look like it's changed much. So now we have, now we have young Jack Sparrow. It'd be cool if he wasn't in it that much, like if he was just missing the whole movie. And they're not going to do that because him alone is what makes these movies make so much money.
Yeah. That'll be funny, though. If they pull like a Fantastic Beasts where he just shows up at the end.
Yeah. That'd be a very impressive call. I think what could salvage this and make it good is Bardem, though. He's consistently one of the best villain. He's up there what's his name?
Christoph Waltz?
Yes, as that guy who you always know will consistently be a good villain. I mean, even Spectre, yeah, they didn't give him much, but...
Oh, Bardem killed in Skyfall.
Yeah, this is why Skyfall is my favorite Bond film. Also because, like, it's the one I've seen the most.
True. The action pieces are really awesome, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what was
good. There's a lot of reasons, but Bardem definitely adds to it.
And he's so, like, late in the film. Like, you really don't know. There's so much... The pacing in Skyfall is so weird. Yeah. Oh yeah, enjoy the fact that this show is just gonna be off the rails, guys.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, how about the Guardians of the Galaxy
trailer? Oh my god, can you ask for anything more?
Awesome.
This trailer was perfect. And there was people, so in the the very last scene in the trailer, this is, I guess, spoilers to the trailer, but not actual spoilers. We see Ego, Star-Lord's dad, played by,
the legendary Kurt Russell.
Yeah. And so people jumped to Twitter and were like, down James Gunn's throat, like, you spoiled this. But but what he said was like, that scene happens in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's going to play a role in the film.
That scene, like that reveal is like so early on that it's not a spoiler at all.
Yeah.
I think people underestimate James Gunn. Like, he's very smart.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
He knows what he's doing. He knows.
Plus, having Kurt Russell in a film is going to make people go too. So.
Yeah, that alone will like, here we go.
And this is what we want. We knew he was going to come in this movie. I mean, he was referenced a lot in the other one about like he's still alive and everything. So the fact that he's coming.
I mean, I thought the movie was going to be the search for his dad, but it's not. It's just like that happens so early on. Every character looks great.
The relationships between them seems so as fresh good. As ever. Nothing stale.
I'm glad Nebula is still happening in this movie because I've read Infinity War. And Nebula plays a giant role in Infinity War, and so they need to hold on to her as a character. I feel kind of weird about. So we have three new Guardians members. We have Mantis, we have Yondu, and we have Nebula are the three new additions. Two of which were just kind of.
I mean, they were side characters.
Yondu was an anti-hero. Nebula was a villain.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. Now they're Guardians.
Yeah, Yondu had some good in him. You could see he just wanted
I'm psyched for Yondu. I think that works. I think he's amazing. I think he is such just Michael Rooker's great at playing at character acting. He's so good. That's why I'm psyched for the Belko experiment. But Yondu himself is great. Nebula just. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, she didn't really do much.
I trust this movie so much.
Yeah, Baby Groot. I was skeptical the first trailer, like they're just gonna make a bunch of plush toys, but he's gonna add a lot to it.
Oh boy, yeah, and like the music is exactly what like when they was it Leonard Skinner's The Gate? I don't know, yeah. But like it worked just like every other time.
Yep,
it's kind of ridiculous. I was upset. The only trailer of these I never liked was the like very first teaser, because when they played Hooked on a Feeling, I'm like, come on, and they like just showed a little bit. But the last two trailers have been solid.
Yep.
It's actually a fun question before we get into the final trailer. This is like a weird discussion that I've been like working on, like especially with the last, because these have gotten good in the last 5-10 years. What would you say are some of the best trailers you've ever seen?
Ooh.
Yeah. I have a few on my list that I know.
The first time Christopher Nolan's great at trailers, especially the Dark Knight Rises one with Gordon in the bed, in the hospital bed, talking about like the hero.
Yeah,
that was big. That was like the first teaser one. There's been a lot, and like right now, it's hard to think of one.
I have one that when me and my dad first watched it, we looked at each other and like, that's like movie aside, that was an incredible trailer. It was the first trailer for Godzilla. It is so well done. Like. I don't understand why it's that good, but like that trailer is phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
it's like one of those ones where like I will go back and watch this just for fun. Like you couldn't recut that trailer anyway to make it any scarier than it was.
Yeah, one of the best trailers that came out of nowhere. I saw the movie South Side with You, which is like the Obama romance one.
Yeah,
when they were in college. The trailer. This was in August, so there was a trailer for Moonlight. And I never heard of the movie, but I like knew this was a movie I had to see with the trailer. Like, and that was one of the ones that hit me that I wasn't anticipating. One anticipating was the Force Awakens one, which I'm sure a lot of us had.
Could say that the Force Awakens trailer is incredible.
Yeah, like, speeder just coming.
I wouldn't even say that the first. I mean, the first two they hold on the fact that Star Wars is like the one where like, you see the. The whole this Millennium Falcon flies out of nowhere and that kind of thing, but the one that dropped during that one football game in like November, the one that would drop like this will be the trailer. I was worried like they're gonna start showing stuff, but they showed nothing, yet everything.
No, those are great trailers.
Yeah,
it's had like peaks of like great moments, but not the whole moment.
Yeah,
and when Han Solo and Chewbacca were like, we're home.
There's
perfect.
I think that I don't even say that one. I think the one that followed that, that's like a great end to it, but I think that one rolls off nostalgia. But the second one where like we start giving us a little bit more of the plot, just a little bit though, like the one where it opens when she's in the Star Destroyer, that one just, also the first trailer, the Comic-Con trailer for Pacific Rim, I think that it has a soundtrack to it that hits every beat. I think that's a weird thing. Like if a trailer can hit the beats that it's given in its soundtrack, it's great.
The best trailer out now was, well, I've seen it like 5 times already. The Dunkirk one.
I would disagree.
You don't like it?
I think that I think there's some really, really solid moments in that stuff that like I think there's like a nuance to trailers where they can give you the right things, but I think that trailer doesn't work all too well.
I think it's great how it opens slowly with the despair, then goes into the action, and then has the general just being like, this is home.
I think they chose the one of the best parts of that trailer, I think, is the flyers falling down, because I'm sure that's not like that big of a part in the movie, but that imagery is perfect for the trailer.
Oh, the Mad Max Fury Road trailer
is incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
with the
so
giant
good.
Font like just coming at you with the orchestral music, the opera. It was insane. And I wasn't even a huge fan of the series before seeing the trailer. But I just knew I had to go see that opening weekend.
I think right now, this makes me upset too, because the second trailer isn't good. But the first trailer we got for Life, the new one where we see too much of what this thing is, but the first trailer for Life is absolutely phenomenal. Like we barely see what we're dealing with here. They hide a lot of it. There's a lot of humans, and the music works really well. I think that's one of my favorites out right now.
Oh yeah, I remember when I was a kid, the trailer that got me was the Where the Wild Things Are.
Really?
Yeah, they had the Arcade Fire wake up music, and I was a fan of the book, but I didn't even like the movie much. But I knew from that Arcade Fire music that I just had to see it. Pixar does a good job with their trailers usually.
Yeah, they're pretty consistent. I forget what Inside Out was like. I think it was really subtle.
Inside Out, yeah. I remember the Wall-E one was really subtle.
Yeah, those were so little.
Yeah. Trailers are huge though.
Yeah, they're such an important thing. Well, now the last trailer to talk about, Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
They show a lot.
A ton.
All at once. I kind of wish I hadn't seen it. I had to, because like I'm so excited for this movie, but it was the teaser trailer in my mind was insanely successful by giving you so little. But this one, I don't know. I think they gave us a little too much. I'm really worried about the CGI xenomorph. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, finally we're gonna see what they can do with a xenomorph in modern times, but. It's never been shown. I mean, the Neomorph from the end of Prometheus, yes. But the Xenomorph has never been... I don't think it's ever been shown in CGI. It's always been a person, even in AVP. I mean, I'm going to look that up, but I'm pretty sure it's never been.
This reaffirmed the fact that it's going back to, like, the roots of the series with the sort of lonely environments. But, you know, you mentioned Life. I felt like Life was like a separate sort of thing of Alien, in that they're sort of fighting each other though.
Well, that's what I was hoping until we saw the second trailer, and it's like,
I just love the cast of Life, but back to Alien.
Alien's cast though,
it's nuts.
I this trailer though is kind of upsetting, because I think that it's good and successful, but. The marketing before this trailer for Alien Covenant has been phenomenal. Like when they gave us the Last Supper prologue, which is one of the most successful pieces of marketing I've ever seen. Like it's like a 5-6 minute long short, thing that's start of the film. It gives you nothing yet everything all at once, and it's so well done, and that pairs really well with the trailer. But then when you pair it with this new trailer, you're starting to see way too much. Makes me, I wasn't happy with it.
There's a lot.
This is one of those films I want to know as little as possible. And like, I think this gave you way too much to speculate about.
I didn't know James Franco was going to be in it.
Me neither. We have some, me and some friends have a thought that he might be killed very early. Oh, yeah. I also don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so. Maybe he, I don't think he's going to be in it a lot. But
why would you have? Why would you spend money on him if he's going to die early? McBride's, I'm glad, is in this. He's a huge horror fan.
Oh yeah.
People don't realize that, but like he's actually, I think, producing or penning the script to the Halloween 3.
Really?
Yeah. Which has got me excited for that. That's going to be good.
Yeah, that sounds sweet.
Well, Josh still isn't here. I've got a review for everybody if you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Jordan Peele's Get Out last weekend.
Nice.
I have a lot of stuff to say about it.
That's at the top of my list with Logan right now.
Well, Josh will have a review of Logan when he gets here.
All right, cool.
So
what'd you think of Get Out?
Let's just...
Because it had 100% for a long time. Now it's at a 99.
Everyone needs to drop their hopes on this. Seriously. It is in no way a 99% film. I will say that there's... I feel really mixed about it because I think there's a lot that's good. And I'm reading... The more I read about decisions, the more I realize there are some really cool decisions in it that get explained at the end.
If anyone knows horror, it's you. So.
Yeah, and but even that aside, I predicted the whole movie in the first 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Predicted all the twists.
Really? All the twists?
Wow. Yeah, and I didn't like that. And it wasn't like... It set up to be this, oh, this will be the best horror movie of the year. Like, it's got so many flaws that It Follows, I think, was successful in its execution. It was not so successful in story execution, but the concept alone holds it together. And it doesn't have holes like It Follows has, but it's not that good. It's not a 99%, and that's going to hurt it so much. This is a film that should have been holding a 72. And it's not because, like, oh, you have those critics out there who are racist. The only critic that ever gave it a bad review was African American.
Yeah.
So you can't say these critics are racist. That one critic was just a racist. But it's really successful. And I mean, it's got its message, and it's you're very aware of what its message is.
Is it funny?
It's funny at times. One thing I will say, though, oh my God, can Jordan Peele direct? That is the best part about this film is how good of a director he is.
Really?
He is incredible.
You think that would be the weakest part of the film?
No. He is that the strongest part of this film is that he is his direction. It is so good. And the other good part about it, I think that there's some good acting in it. The decisions he makes, though, that there's like he makes some really good decisions that if left would make this film a lot less predictable. The problem is he makes larger decisions and that make this way too predictable, where I spent this whole time like this is like I'm sitting here, I'm like, I think I know how this is gonna end, but this is a 99% film on Rotten Tomatoes. There's no way it's gonna end exactly how I think it is, and then it does. And I was like, well, come on. Like it's that part just made me upset. I'm like, this is like it was probably in the fact that like it's got a really cool message, and it delivers this message in a cool way. But going into it, I was aware that there is a message that Peele's going for with this. And because of that, I was, some characters don't work for me. And like, I know these characters' intentions regardless. And it's like, at that point, I'm like, well, now I know exactly what's going to happen. What these characters are going to decide, what these characters decide. And there's like one major plot point that I didn't get because it's out there and pretty crazy. And I like that. But it found it way too predictable, and I didn't like that.
Do you think it was predictable because you are so familiar with the genre?
No. I think that Jordan Peele was going for something with it, and I respect his decisions about the story, the message he's trying to throw into this. But because he has that message, you instantly know what.
Yeah.
You instantly make decisions with these characters that you're like, okay, well, I'm aware this is going to happen. And then. Like when these things were revealed, like I was not shocked by anything. And the other big problem I have with this is that at the very end, it turns into a slasher film.
Oh, really?
Which didn't seem like there's no, I guess kind of spoilers. It's not really spoiling anything, but like when horror films decide to have death occur in them by a character. There needs to be ample setup to why this character would do this. And there isn't any reason for this, for a specific character in this to make an action. And I felt it just like was him trying to tie a bow up on something that didn't need to be. And I didn't like that. There are some funny moments in it. There's a lot of moments that don't make sense that get explained later on. But it just doesn't, it's way too predictable, yeah. And I didn't like that. I love Jordan Peele's directing, though. I'm excited.
It sounds like it's a good time, but it's overrated.
Don't get me wrong. It's a really, really good movie, but it's just, it is in the greatest sense overrated, but it's not like, oh, it's overrated, like that sense. It's like, it was just way too highly praised. Like way, way, way too highly praised. This is a movie that should be getting a 70 or an 80 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, it is like a B plus A minus movie, which is a really big thing. It's not an A. It's not an A plus. It's not, yeah, it's nowhere near as good as some of the great horror movie we got last year. Like last year was the year for horror, and everyone's like, oh, Get Out's just as good as anything. No, it's not. It's not even the best from this year. Split was way better. I didn't think there's a lot of people who don't probably see horror movies as often as I do, or like just in that sense. Well, probably not. They're not paying attention enough. There's a really good long take at the beginning of it that I loved. I loved the tonal choices and stuff like that. Yeah. Acting was pretty good.
Pretty good.
The two parents in it are by far the best.
Oh yeah. So you don't think like the main character of this will be like a star?
Nah. Or anything? He shows a type of fear that I haven't seen in horror movies that often. He does. He goes for, instead of going for like the scream, he goes for like
the shocked.
Yeah, but like, and it's really well done. That he does that very well. But I don't know. Wasn't really doing it for me.
All right.
Made me sad because I love when a horror movie is good. It also just didn't scare me.
Oh. No, I heard amazing things, but yeah.
I'll be that one meh critic for you.
No, that's a good. But would you give it a fresh?
Yeah.
Well, would you contribute to the 100?
I'm an enabler. Rotten Tomatoes is
it's a flawed thing.
This was the biggest showing of the flaw of Rotten Tomatoes, which I think, despite the fact, if you look at it in a broader sense, Rotten Tomatoes is totally flawed. But
yeah, I guess it's just a way to say, like, is it worth going? Like, but
here, I think
there's a bunch of things.
I think our second co-host is on his way here. And there he is, the man himself, coming off of. Hello. Oh, your mic's not on.
Hello.
There we go. Matt, are you gonna have to dip soon?
I do.
All right. Well. Thank you, Matt, for being
pleasure.
This.
Have a great spring break, everyone.
We'll be back from spring break with all three of us for hopefully the entire show for the first time.
Definitely.
All right, and then Matt will finally be able to do his box office, and I won't have to. So I've had to do it for the last like 9-10 episodes. Speaking of friends, Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
How is your work on Dunkirk been?
What? Oh, the trailer for that actually played before the Logan movie, and it was a really good trailer.
Well, let's jump directly into that.
No, all right.
No spoilers because I have not seen it, and most
no
of our
spoilers.
Yeah, we'll do a spoiler review when we get back.
Okay. Here's the one spoiler is you're gonna cry. It is such a good movie, not even an X-Men movie. It's just a good, we're talking about Logan, by the way. It's just a good movie in general, and it's really sad. It's really sad. Especially, all right, so I'm trying to
figure out a way to say it
without spoiling anything. It's a sad movie, and Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart on the news have talked about how it's going to be the last movie they ever do. Because, I mean, Patrick Stewart, we knew Hugh Jackman is going to be the last movie he did. And then Patrick Stewart was watching the film before it came out, and he said, you know what, this is such a perfect way to let Professor Xavier kind of to end the character. Because he's getting old. I mean, Patrick Stewart and Charles Xavier are getting old. So he's like, you know what, this is probably, I mean, if Hugh Jackman's stopping, makes sense, Patrick Stewart. But it's such a good farewell to both characters. And if you've seen any of the trailers, the new X-23, that new actress, she's loads of fun. She's gonna become a fan favorite.
Well, I think that the guy who directed Logan, James Mangold, said he wants to direct an X-23 movie.
Yeah, she is so awesome.
Quick aside, I was looking at Patrick Stewart filmography.
Yeah.
Guess what his next credit's gonna be?
What?
The Emoji Movie.
Oh my goodness.
I cannot wait for us to do that review.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can't. I don't know how I feel about watching it, but reviewing it is gonna be a ton of fun.
So yeah, keep going.
So yeah, so it talks about how there's if you've seen the trailer, there's a new Wolverine, and it's kind of what is her story, where does he come from, and also this is set far in the future. If you know the old man Logan storyline, or I think so, this is far in the future. Mutants are always being hunted. I mean, in every movie they're being hunted. So now it's far enough in the future that there's very few left, and kind of what do we do with this new mutant? There's a new mutant, and how do we protect her? How do we save her? What do we do? And also, I'm getting old. I'm Wolverine, but I got to protect this person who's a lot like me. And so, what do you do? And just the story of it, what really solidifies it is the relationship between Patrick Stewart, between Professor X and Logan. The two of them are very close, and you kind of see the struggles. He's old. They're both old, and so kind of what has that done to them in terms of their powers? Obviously, we know Logan can't heal as well as he did in the past. And so how do they kind of come in and work with each other? And also, the character change for Logan, when you watch the movie, I mean, his character goes through a drastic change of he starts off as, I mean, being Wolverine. I mean, he's never had kind of like a child or whatever to take care of, you know, this kind of younger person. He never had to take care of it. He was always a loner, and now he has this person that he needs to take care of. How does he do it? How does he go from the old Wolverine all alone to taking care of this kid? And I mean, you see a whole nother side of the Wolverine character.
Wow, and that's pretty impressive. After what's he at now, like 17 years with the same character?
Yeah, something insane like that. But oh my goodness, it was, yeah, a few tears rolled down at the end.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Although the one thing is the ending credit song, like the credit song, the plays first right when the credits start, is such a bad choice.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so.
But what? It's rated R.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
So there's a lot of swears thrown in from Logan, of course. There's at one point where his truck breaks down, and he tries to start it up. He can't do it. He swears a few times. Gets out of the car, hits the door, and then just goes off and just swears. And did it need to be R? No. Is it good that it's R? Absolutely. You see the Wolverine. You can see him develop from like this anger-filled kind of character, this lone person, to a more compassionate person. And towards the end, I don't think he's swearing at all.
Okay.
So
what about the violence? Because I've heard a lot about the action.
Oh, it is gory.
Wow.
There's one part where X-23 cuts off somebody's head.
Oh, boy.
A whole bunch of guys go into a warehouse after her. And then there's gunshots and everything and people fight. And then she walks out with this kind of blob under her arm. And the guy with the metal hand, who you see in the trailers, says kind of, stop there, stop there. And then she kind of just lobs the thing towards him and rolls over and is one of the guy's heads. It is a gruesome movie and it's amazing.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
We will definitely get more into Logan.
Okay. The one thing about it is, You can maybe watch it twice, but after that, it's the other X-Men movies. It's action and all this, but this is a story about family. This is a story about love. And once you watch it once, you're kind of, I don't want to watch it again. It's like saying goodbye to someone. You don't want to do it again and again.
Yeah.
So once you watch it once, you kind of have to just live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So rewatchabilities. Yeah, because I mean, you can rewatch the X-Men movies.
I mean, you can rewatch it, and I mean, you can definitely rewatch it, but it's so different from the other X-Men movies. Everybody thought, oh yeah, Deadpool's different, but that's because, you know, breaking the fourth wall movie. This is different because it's not an X-Men movie. It's not really an action movie. There are action sequences in it, but the main driving point of the whole movie is this character development of Logan and the introduction of X-23.
Okay.
So it's a really good movie. It's a great story, and it's definitely a thumbs up.
All right, sweet. Thumbs up from Nolan.
And I didn't see Lego Batman movie, unfortunately.
I haven't either. That's on my list. Like, oh, is it? So break. We have. I'm at least for me. I'm gonna see Logan, Lego Batman.
Yep.
The Kong Skull Island, which reviews are starting to come out of.
Beauty and the Beast. I want to see that.
Beauty and the Beast drops when we get back.
I think it drops the 17th.
Actually, let me see what's currently in theaters.
La La Land and Moonlight are still in theaters, of course.
I mean, I don't think Moonlight's in theaters. Moonlight is not.
Rock Dog's in theaters. Moonlight was at Regal where I went. Which
interesting, because it's I know Moonlight is now on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
so it's for rental, so now you can see it.
Yeah. Rock Dog is out.
I will not be seeing
The Shack.
Oh boy, out. I do not want to see The Shack.
Get Out, of course, is out in theaters.
We just talked about it.
Nice.
Right
did you see it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's not 99.
It's not a 99. Yeah. All right. What did you give it?
I gave it like a 75, probably. I think the equivalent of that, like like a 17 out of 20.
Okay.
Not 17, like a 15 out of 20 or something like that.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I'll probably try to see Great Wall because
I want to see Great Wall, yeah.
Going to be in the area. We'll not be seeing The Shack. There is nothing I want to see less than The Shack.
What is The Shack?
It's
is it a scary movie?
No, it's like a heart, like a spirituality heartwarming one.
Oh.
Actually, is this going? There's this film called Raw that I want to see that I've been sitting on for so long.
That's the cannibal movie.
It looks amazing.
There's no way I would watch that.
Raw looks so good, and I've heard so many great things about it.
No.
I don't think it's going to be coming to theaters. I'm curious if it's coming to theaters in SF, because if it's in theaters, I'll see it. But I think we'll probably end up watching it
on SF being San Francisco, of course.
On video on demand.
Yeah.
Because I think that's probably it's probably going to be... rentable on that.
Yeah. I still need to see John Wick 2. Haven't seen that yet.
You should see that. Split.
I still need to see that. What about 50 Shades Darker? Is it worth it or not?
No.
If you go with somebody, is it worth it?
No.
It's, all right. That's a no from us.
All mean, I would... We did the 50 Shades review. Yeah. I have weird feelings about the movie.
You said it's better than the first, but
it's... I think it's I think it's decent.
Yeah,
it didn't go fresh for me, but I think it's a decent. I gave it a 9 out of 20, which is
okay.
Better
just on the edge. Yeah,
I mean it's much better than most people are giving it right now. Most people are saying it's so bad it's hilarious, which I would disagree with. I think it's got so much going for it that the original didn't have. But that's a whole nother review.
Yeah.
What
movies did you see this weekend? Any?
I did not see anything this weekend
in theaters. Yeah,
nothing in theaters this weekend for me. Yeah, wow. Here we are. It's at 12:52. No idea what to talk about. This is what happens when we do not do a schedule for the show.
What did you see this week? Do you already talk about that?
We have not seen this week yet. Let's see. What have you seen this week?
All right, what have I seen this week? I saw the first Batman. Batman Begins. I rewatched that.
Okay.
I still think Dark Knight's better. Everybody does.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I even think after watching Batman Superman, I know everybody hates Batman Superman, and the origin story there is kind of silly, but... It was funny to then go back to Batman Begins and watch that origin story because wow, they in Batman v Superman they copied so much from this one.
Well, what I liked about Batman v Superman is they did it all in the credits, and I was like, that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah,
I don't want you guys to waste time on Batman's origins.
Yeah.
Now this week I saw I saw Blue by Derek Jarman, which is wow, it's very interesting to say the least.
It is about
80 minutes long. It's one frame, one blue screen frame for 80 minutes, and it's got a bunch of sounds, and it's a guy narrating him. It's like poetry, and this guy's talking about him dying of AIDS. It is very weird.
Yeah.
We had to watch it for class.
Huh.
Yeah, that was the only really notable.
Martin Scored.
No, that's not Scorsese. No, it's Derek Jarman,
okay,
who is a artistic filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So that can give you any insight into what a lot of his stuff is like. That was the only really notable of this past week. Let's jump.
I saw The Mechanic Resurrection. That was from Alast and The Mechanic.
What did you think of that?
I liked it. I think it just copied the first. It's kind of like the sequels where they just take the first one, change the story a tiny bit, and then just add so many more effects. So it looks like a better movie, but it's really kind of the same story.
Okay.
A Beautiful Mind. I finally rewatched that. That was great.
Oh, we do have some news to talk about if you want.
What?
Deadpool 2 drops a trailer.
Deadpool 2 drops a trailer before Logan. The movie starts, and you're like, oh, this guy's getting mugged. And then Deadpool pops up, and you said, wait a minute, this isn't Logan. And,
so that's where it came from, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, out of nowhere, Deadpool 2, and I was like, what?
Yeah, and it's so funny.
And when he walks into the alleyway, there's a Logan poster in the background.
Yeah, and it's on the theater. On the theater, it says Logan is playing. Like, Logan's playing.
I think that's hilarious.
It's great.
Way to go, Ryan Reynolds. Is just very on top of it. Even though this movie isn't coming out for an entire year.
And then at the end, it says, coming not soon enough.
Yeah.
It's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That was awesome. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer.
We've already talked all the big trailers that dropped.
I didn't even see the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer because I want to save it, but the Guardians trailer with Baby Groot played before Logan. That
you
was
can,
awesome.
You can watch this new trailer. It doesn't reveal anything.
Okay.
It's cool. It's good. We were talking about that. I disagree about that. You should probably not see the Alien Covenant one. I think it gives away a little too much.
It's too late.
Okay.
That played before Logan. So just heads up to viewers if you're going to go, I mean listeners, if you're going to go to see Logan and you don't want to be spoiled by the Alien Covenant trailer, I think it's the third to last one.
I wasn't entirely happy. I think it gave a little too much out.
Yeah.
But
I mean that alien though in the final shot.
Yeah, I'm a little upset with it. I think that
it takes away from the original. It's not
it's CGI. It's not
Yeah. It's not faithful.
Well, even the bad alien movies are like they still used like practical effects with the aliens.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I don't think Resurrection might not. That was
the fourth one.
Yeah, that was at the perfect time where they were like, oh, we can use CG now. Let's try this new CG thing. It just doesn't really work.
Yep.
So let's jump into some news. Big news came out of the Marvel world. Rumor has it that at Pinewood Studios, I believe, there is a film.
What's Pinewood?
It's the Disney, one of the Disney studios. Mm-hmm. There is a $1 billion film in development. So people are speculating.
$1 billion film.
Yes.
Budget is $1 billion.
People are speculating this is the Infinity War movies because Avengers 3 and 4 are being filmed back to back. Being filmed one sitting.
Oh, so is this continuous $1 billion for the two, so $500 million each?
That's the thought.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, that's still.
I mean, okay, let's be real. They're still going to blow that out of the water, but.
Well, I didn't think the thought's like, when you hear $1 billion, like, that's a. Movies don't make $1 billion. Like, every once in a while one does, but.
Yeah.
But I guess if they're doing two Avengers films split between the two of them, then that's going to make $3 billion total.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's
is there any chance that it's an Avatar movie or not?
No. I doubt it.
Is that not Disney?
I think it is. I mean, Disney has the Avatar amusement park now.
Oh, right.
But like I think every Avengers movie has broken the billion mark.
Yeah.
So
Civil War is 2.5.
Most $1 billion. I think that's like almost every single movie that's broken the $1 billion mark was in one way created by Disney.
Yeah.
It's which is
Avatar.
I
mean, Gone with the Wind and Titanic. I don't think that was Disney, but those don't count. Those are old. Those are oldies.
On the more annoying. Oh yeah, here we go. Here's something interesting. So rumor has out that Black Mask is going to be the villain in Gotham City Sirens. First off, do we need Gotham City Sirens really?
Okay, what does that mean?
So it's a new team up movie. It's between Harley Quinn, Catwoman, and Poison Ivy.
No, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, that's just going to be overly sexualized. I mean, as from what we've seen from the other movies, I mean, Poison Ivy in the Batman. Was it Batman or Batman Returns? No, Batman Forever. Batman Forever. I mean, she was overly sexualized. Catwoman in the Catwoman movie.
These characters are going to be like.
Yeah, we don't need that. We need. If they do it right, then yes. If they develop these characters and actually show there's a side of them that's really cool and badass, then yeah. But, I mean.
I mean, I just don't. I don't want them to do. Stop doing team up. DC just needs to stop.
DC needs to do what Marvel did. I mean, they can't.
They're never going to.
They need the Batman movie. They need that. I'm excited for the Flash movie.
If it ever comes out. I think that's still stuck in development hell. It's really not a good time for DC. I think the Aquaman test footage leaked. Suicide Squad 2 is Mel Gibson is in directs. directing that. That's dumb.
It's funky, yeah.
I mean, DC is all, but also DC is doing really well in their TV universe,
mm-hmm.
which is
just
stick to that.
Yeah.
All right. This is time for our break. So thank you. Just want to say you're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. It's the hour mark. We are going to give ourselves a little bit of small 5 minutes, maybe get ourselves together and try to actually get something interesting going on, something we can actually talk about. But as right now, we're going to sign off and give you guys a little bit of break. Animatronic dinosaurs, and welcome to our break. If you are a fan of the show and you haven't already, give us a like on Facebook. There you can hear from us when we go live, as well as other stuff in between seasons and such. You can find it at facebook.com/animatronicdinosaurs. Also, if you haven't already, head over to our YouTube channel, where we have most of our past episodes to listen to. You can also find extra movie reviews, behind the scenes, and video content as well. Give us a subscribe to stay up to date. You can find the link to our YouTube channel on our Facebook page, which is once again facebook.com/animatronicdinosaurs. Up next, we have a few short clips from past episodes, so hope you guys enjoy.
So it pretty much just goes through Snowden's life. It doesn't talk a lot about his younger life. It starts, he's working in the army. Is this like spoilers or not?
No, don't go for spoilers. Okay. We don't do spoilers in these reviews unless it's a big movie.
Yeah. So it kind of starts when he's in the army. So Snowden started in the army, and then he ends up breaking his leg, so he can't do it, but he still wants to serve his country, so he ends up trying to join the CIA. His grades aren't quite good enough, but they're like, you know what? You're really smart, so you're in. Anyway, he keeps going. Eventually starts working for NSA, which is the National Surveillance Agency, and he starts writing codes and stuff. He's really, really good, and he ends up writing a whole bunch of programs that are the basis for a whole bunch of the NSA's programs. But then the NSA takes these programs and brings them out of use and starts using them for things that he never intended.
I think only two major mm-hmm. casting changes.
Yeah, that was Terrence Howard
to Don Cheadle and
Edward Norton
to Mark Ruffalo. Believe that's it.
Both worked.
Both, yeah. I mean, I like both of them.
Yeah.
I like both Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard.
Me too.
I don't think that Terrence Howard could do some of the stuff Don Cheadle does.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they would have had the same comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But Terrence Howard worked for what he was in Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
And then Edward Norton, fantastic job carrying his own solo Incredible Hulk movie. Could not have carried in a team.
No.
He does a very good job with...
He's hard to work with.
And he's very strong with his, like, inner... demons, kind of, which is what Incredible Hulk's about. But and I don't think Ruffalo could have really dealt with that. So, like, at the time, I think Ruffalo could do a solo Hulk film in a different setting.
Mm. I really like Spider-Man.
I know Matt disagrees with me on this, but I think it was the best screen adaptation of Spider-Man's character.
And, like, I could see why someone would say that. Like, because he's a lot like the comics, you know? And he's also a kid. So, like, that's what his point is. He's a kid, and that's what the comics are, like Adventures of Spider-Man. But, you know, Tobey Maguire, the first two movies, has a place in my heart, just because he's a little more, you know, nerdy. But
I think that the first two Spider-Man movies are fantastic films and are probably better Spider-Man films than Civil War is, because Civil War is not a Spider-Man film.
No.
But I think that Spider-Man in Civil War is a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire's.
Yeah. They did a cool thing. It was not like Amazing Spider-Man, where they just recycled everything from the first Spider-Man movies. This one, it changed stuff, and you know, that's controversial because you're used to it being the other way. Like me, I was like, wow, that's weird. But thinking about it, you know, it's actually, I'm glad they did something different.
And I mean, the changes aren't like a Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor change. They're like small, and every time. All right.
Yes.
So, what is your number? What's your number?
Number
five.
This is the one I'm most embarrassed is on my top five. It's Sausage Party.
Oh, but it's so funny.
It was funny.
I haven't seen it yet. Need to edit.
You haven't seen Sausage Party? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
It's funny, but it takes stuff too far.
It takes it very far.
I have Jewish jokes in it.
Oh my God. Good. Oh my God. Okay, nothing is off limits in that movie.
Okay. It offends absolutely everybody.
Yes.
Ali, you beat me.
What?
I was at 47.
Ooh, hey, I'm gonna probably see way more too before the movie.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that might have been the most I've seen a theater laugh ever. I went like at like 1 a.m. on a Friday night. The theater was packed. And
1 a.m. on a Friday
night?
Dang, I didn't even know they had movies that late.
Or maybe it was 12. It might have started at 12, okay. But like it was a late night movie.
Yeah.
But yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to see comedies. I think they fail whenever you go to a movie theater and there's nobody laughing.
Yeah. Like if no one was there, I would have been like, wow, this is uncomfortable.
All right, what's your guys' favorite comedy? Can you think of one?
Favorite? Oh, God. Fletch.
Fletch. Haven't seen that.
Fletch. I'm naming my kid after Fletch.
I'm just trying to generate a list.
Like,
I'm thinking... Like, honestly, Ghostbusters.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Yeah. Ghostbusters, yes.
Ghostbusters is great. Okay, I think you guys are probably going to hear me for this. Get Smart.
The new one?
The new one.
It's okay.
It's so funny. You know, he's still, you know, he's got such a cool, smooth. He's a smooth operator, you know?
He's a smooth criminal,
I guess, no pun intended, but, like, because he's a doctor. But, like,
yeah,
like in the opening scene, I think it is, in the operating room, he's, you know, he's, like, kind of jamming out to music while he's, like, in the middle of surgery. Yeah. And he tells him to change it to something else. Like,
and trying to give him a challenge.
Yeah, and so they change it to something else, and he just starts spouting off information about the song they changed it to.
Yeah.
And like without even thinking about it.
While he's operating.
Yeah, while he's operating on someone. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And he just has such a cool demeanor.
Yeah. I think the coolest thing about this movie is you see one operation, and then he gets pulled off to another operation that's very time sensitive.
Hope you guys enjoyed those clips. We'll be getting back to the rest of the show very shortly. If you want to hear the rest of those episodes, go to wjrh.org/animatronicdinosaurs or go to our YouTube channel, which can be found on our Facebook page, facebook.com/animatronicdinosaurs. Speaking of WJRH, we just want to take this time to say a big thank you to them for allowing us to hold our show here. Without them, the show could have never gotten its start or gotten as big as it is right now. If you guys haven't already, head to www.wjrh.org to check out a bunch of their other shows that air all week on WJRH.
And we're back. Thank you guys for listening. We are in the back half of the show now. We got a couple more segments for you guys. Give us some feedback. That's a big thing that we want to hear. We want to hear you guys talking about what you think, how the show's doing with this new 2-hour one.
Yeah, and what you want to hear. I mean,
yeah,
we've got
some reviews. Yeah. We've got the news. We're going to try a new segment called Bad Old Movie.
Yeah.
The first
one is not a very old movie.
We wouldn't say it's a very old movie, but boy, is it a bad movie.
And we wanted to do it because it's current, so, you know.
I guess.
We wanted to make sure that you guys didn't go see it. It was from last year.
These are movies that we didn't review on show. I don't think we did not review this on show. No, because you weren't on show yet.
Yeah.
But this is when we didn't review on show. We've talked about on show. But here we have our first...
Before you say that, I watched Max Steel about 2 weeks ago.
I'm sure we're gonna have to do a bad movie.
It was so bad. It was down easily top five of the worst of the year. Anyway, yeah. So which movie are we reviewing again?
Gods of Egypt.
What a fabulously horrible movie.
That's such a great way to describe it, because like I always say, like, what makes a bad movie for me is the whenever it is boring. And Gods of Egypt is far from boring. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's got so much. So if you don't know, it's about Egypt.
This is a thing that's going to be an ongoing thing that you should all know when listening to bad movie reviews. Old bad movies is going to be that we will spoil these movies.
Yeah,
they're bad enough that you shouldn't.
They're bad enough that you shouldn't watch them. We are helping you.
We're gonna kind of go through all of the plot points of these films and talk about them. So yeah, we have our characters. It's like the main guy Beck. He's in love with this girl Zaya.
Yeah,
I mean, we're already off with just ridiculous names.
Yeah, there's too many names to keep track of.
So it's the coronation of the god Horus, and then Osiris. His dad, I believe, gets killed by Osiris's brother Set, played by Gerard Butler. And Set
why is Gerard Butler in this? How did he get?
Remember Gerard?
Into
we
this?
Talked about Gerard Butler is the poor actor who just always has bad.
Yeah,
he's never cast in anything good.
Yeah. Okay. Not nope. 300.
That's your best film.
Yeah.
sorry. Like he tries very hard in every film he's in. So
yeah.
Set takes the throne. And Horace loses his eyes.
Loses his eye.
Eyes. He eyes. Loses both he eyes. Loses
both eyes?
Yes. Remember?
Because he only gets one eye back. He steals his eye and suddenly it turns into a jewel. It's like, all right, Egypt. Okay.
We'll go for it, I guess. Yeah. And then Zaya's like being, so Set takes over and Zaya's like kind of a slave, I guess.
I don't know, but she lives kind of nicely.
Beck ends up going to Set's pyramid and stealing the eye of Horus, and then takes it to Horus, who doesn't really believe in him. And then they go.
Okay. Also, all the gods for some reason are 8 feet tall.
Yes, just weirdly though, not like.
It's not like tall, like super tall, like a Titan would be. It's like just an abnormal height.
Yeah, they're just a little too big.
And they're not even long. They're normally proportioned humans. Just like it's like you multiplied them by 1.5.
Yeah,
you got gods.
And that's what the CGI looks like. It looks like somebody went into MS Paint and used like 1.5 times multiplication on these characters.
It is. Oh, it is boy. So weird.
And so it goes on further where. Horus goes to Ra, who's on a flying spaceship outside of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Who's dragging the sun around to stop the giant shadow beast, Apophis, from eating the world. This movie is so out there. It is astonishing. Then there's, like, Thoth, some, like, smart god who ends up getting...
And doesn't he scoop up some, like, liquid or something that's, like, that, like, brings somebody... Remember? He scoops up the liquid from the chariot that the chariot's going in, because then it can put out the fire in his like pyramid or something.
Yeah. And then there's like, because like they have to like use Thoth to try to figure this, and then in the end it's a giant trap by Set, and Set steals all the powers of all these gods and like gets this one god's like brain and
the
staff of Ra. It is just so, and then Zaya dies. And
Die dies, but guess what? No, she didn't.
No, because then Beck, I think, goes to whatever
the
Hades,
underworld
the underworld, to go bring her back, and Anubis. And, oh my God!
There's so much going on.
It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
And then there's that final battle on top of thing, and then it's always like it ends up wrapping up. Bro, it's like it's.
And everybody lives happily ever after, pretty much.
It's just, wow, oh my God. What was this going for?
I don't know. Okay, I think it was trying to take every, like, Egyptian myth and kind of put it into one.
Yeah.
And then CGI it so it looks pretty and it covers up how bad the film is. Because, okay, we have to admit, we got to go with film credit. It looks beautiful.
It's very colorful. Colorful. I think this bombed big time. It didn't. It made its budget back somehow.
It made its budget back, but it didn't do very well. It didn't do as well as they were expecting. They put in so much advertising into this.
Yep.
When I worked at AMC, they had a whole one of those. They didn't even have just posters. They had a huge spread and it was one of those cardboard things where all the characters were. And you know, it was not great. It was not worth it.
So a little bit into this. So it's directed by Alex Proyas, who did The Crow and iRobot.
And iRobot was good.
Why did he make Gods of Egypt? So Proyas is from that? was born in Alexandria, Egypt.
Oh, and let's talk about how every character was white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job. you would say, whitewashing. But, like, this is such a bad movie anyways that it's, like, that just adds to the sheer ridiculousness of this film. It is just so all over the place. And, like, there's just so much. I wouldn't even say I went into this knowing that it was going to be bad. But I think it just goes, when Ra is driving a giant spaceship, isn't it like Chain to the... No, it's Chain to the Sun. And it's Chain dragging
to the Sun.
And
it's dragging it behind.
Like, it goes so far in how ridiculous this is.
Yeah.
And I would say, though, it's hilariously entertaining.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It is.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. And they drag in way too many stars. And this Chadwick Boseman, who plays Black Panther, got dragged into it. Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, who plays Jamie Lannister, got dragged into this. Brenton Thwaites, who is going to be in the new Pirates of the Caribbean, got dragged into this. That one girl from
Mad Max.
From Mad Max. Is it Edelie Young?
No.
No. She played somebody
Courtney
else.
Courtney Eaton.
She got dragged into this movie after being in a much better movie.
She was in Mad Max and
Gods of Egypt. That's all. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only the new stuff coming out. But like,
so she peaked and then.
I mean, she peaked. I think she just had a bad agent.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one person who has a terrible agent. Poor Gerard Butler. Why? This poor guy is just not in good movies. Except for How to Train Your Dragon. That's different.
Yeah. And Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen. I love those movies. I don't care what you say.
But like, oh boy, poor Gerard Butler. Like this is the quintessential Gerard Butler movie because he's just acting the crap out of it. He's trying really hard and he yells and all this. It's just like, oh boy, sorry, buddy. Yeah, and
if you want it, but if you're into seeing an 8-foot Gerard Butler, go see it.
I mean, not even just. I wouldn't say pay money for it because I don't think you should. But if you have a chance to watch this just absolutely ridiculous thing, it's probably a really good time, honestly. There's so much gold in it, too.
There's so much gold.
Why? Like, it's already going to be set in Egypt, so there's going to be a lot of, like, sand and stuff. And then, like, oh, I know. Let's overuse gold.
Yeah. There's gold coins. There's gold costumes. There's gold. The people all look gold. They all have a gold tinge to them.
And it's like, I think this entire movie was filmed on green screen.
Yeah.
And not in a good Jungle Book kind of way. We just kind of felt like filming everything on green screen. And it's like, at that point, when you're CGIing the walls of your building, that's when it's going to not look real. I'm sorry. Like when the pillars of stone that are in this household are like CGI.
Oh yeah,
like it. Good Lord, this film, and I just don't even know what they were going for in this. Like, I think in reality, it's an entirely original film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, okay, it takes off of Egyptian myth, but it is entirely a original film. It's not based off of anything, and you know what? Props to it. I'll give it that,
but. It's not good.
No, it is. It is one of those ones that's. I honestly was not the worst movie of last year. It's it's very bad, but it wasn't.
It's also not bad enough to be like good.
Oh, I would say it's really? So bad it's good.
I don't know, but I don't know if I'd watch it again. Actually, okay, I would watch it again, but it's not super rewatchable like other really bad movies.
I think action movies have a lot of leeway when it comes to so bad it's good, because you can take the bad dialogue and the everything away, but
just ignore it. And but like, the action's bad.
Like, I mean, it's the action can be bad and it can still be enjoyable to watch. Like that final fight scene, it was cliche and the exact same thing, but it's an action movie fight scene. Like, it's still entertaining to watch an action movie fight scene.
Yeah.
Even if there's zero stakes and it's only CGI characters.
I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then there's, but then like, you don't get that same leeway for comedy, because if comedy fails, it just fails and isn't funny. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little bit more of a like, that's what makes comedy so much harder when it's so bad it's good. Then you get Nine Lives, which is funny and just so over the top ridiculous. We will watch, that is definitely one I want to do one of these segments for.
Yes.
Please. All right, so that was our first segment of Bad Old Movie.
BOM, battle movie.
Matt and I talked about it at the start of the day, but we didn't talk in depth about it. So we're gonna talk about the Oscars, and we're gonna go through each of the categories and talk about who won, who should have won.
Each of the categories.
No, let's do it. We got time, dude.
We didn't do shorts though.
Okay, documentary. Not shorts. But I would like to. And Matt and I already talked about foreign language and doc. So we'll pass those.
Cool.
But let's jump into.
What should we start with? Let's start with best makeup and hairstyling.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. The Oscar winning Suicide Squad.
Jeez.
The DCU has an Oscar and Marvel doesn't. And of all of the films, it was Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
What?
I think even Star Trek Beyond was better.
It
should have won.
But it's still hilarious that Suicide Squad is an Oscar-winning movie. It's so surreal.
They don't even need to say what they won the Oscar.
Nope, they don't need to say it. But it's still an Oscar-winning movie.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's. I wonder. You know what? I want to look it up and see if it's ever won one of those, because there's a lot of Oscars that are given out, and there's only a few that are given out on on air.
What do you mean?
Like there's a shiz ton of Oscars that don't get like awards that don't get shown on TV. Really? So
like not out of the 20?
Yeah.
There's more than the 20?
Yeah, there, I mean there's like the technically there's the technical awards too.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
And so I wonder if there's any more. I mean they're not considered like the Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't find them right now. We can talk about them in the future, but it's still pretty crazy that a primetime Oscar is now in the hands of the people at Suicide Squad. Let's jump into sound. No, let's do costume design. So
yes,
I thought La La Land was a shoo-in for this.
For costume design?
And Fantastic Beasts won.
I had Fantastic Beasts down as my hopeful.
But like
I definitely hope for it.
La La Land seemed like a shoo-in for this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Cuz like this is when you started to see that it wasn't going to sweep anything because it didn't win costume.
I mean, it still got what? 6 Oscars?
Yeah, it still won a ton.
I mean, it wasn't the sweep like Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max like swept every single.
Mad Max wasn't, I don't think people really expected that. Whereas La La Land, everybody's like, oh yeah, La La Land's going to win everything.
Yeah, so. But I mean, like, Mad Max really swept. It won, I think it won costume, makeup, hairstyling, sound editing, sound design, production design, like, every single, I mean, let me look this up. We have computers here. Mad Max Fury Road Oscars.
La La Land is, I love La La Land. It's good.
It's good.
Okay. As a jazz musician and someone who appreciates music, I love the film.
I think that it's a very, very well, good-looking film.
Yeah.
I will give that. I think as an achievement in films, Mad Max Fury Road won 6 Oscars.
But it was unexpected.
But it won the technical Oscars. It won makeup and hairstyling, costume design, sound mixing, sound editing, production design, and film editing.
it swept the technical categories.
But La La Land won actress, which we'll talk about, and director, which we'll talk about, and cinematographer, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But it did not win costume design.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see Fantastic Beasts. It's always nice to see it like a blockbuster winning an award.
Yeah. And Fantastic Beasts, I mean, Fantastic Beasts earns it. I thought the costumes in that were good.
Yeah. Definitely.
Maybe they weren't as good as La La Land, but.
No, I think that they were probably better. I think it definitely deserves it.
Yeah.
I just wasn't expecting it.
Oh, no, not at all.
All right, the sound, let's do production. I have them organized by what I called and what I didn't. Yeah. Best production design was La La Land, which this makes a lot more sense because as an overall, like the production of it overall is very
well. Yeah.
Like of all of the categories for it to win in the technical categories, this was it. Best
production design made sense. Yeah.
Like this really made sense.
I mean, everything just worked. Everything worked in its favor. It was beautiful. It sounded beautiful. Just all the scenes kind of seamlessly went together. I mean, yeah, it earned it.
Yeah, that one I think it earned more than anything.
Yeah.
All right. Sound. We've got best sound editing. Won by Arrival. That makes all sense.
Yes.
Totally makes sense they won.
If you haven't seen Arrival yet, go see it. If like, not, just for the music.
Like the I'm not even saying the music. The sounds in it. So sound editing, I believe, is all of like the noise. The
sound effects and stuff, yeah.
And that's what... That's what Arrival does so well.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's so good.
It is so creepy.
The
music is just eerie and haunting.
Well, we'll talk about the music later on, because that makes me upset. But best sound mixing, Hacksaw Ridge. Why?
I don't know.
I'm so upset that movie was nominated. I don't think it's that good.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not.
Please see it.
I don't know if I want to. Do I want to?
Okay. I mean, it's not that good, but see it so I'm not the only one with a position on it.
Fair.
It was best sound mixing, sound editing. Let's talk about film editing. Was also won by Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah, that's upsetting because it didn't. I don't think it. Like, sure, it had great editing.
Yeah,
but I think Moonlight and Arrival both were better.
Yeah, I agree.
The editing category is a weird one. Like,
what is it? What does it really mean? Film
editing? I mean, film editing is a huge deal, and I think some films
How do you decide? Oh, this one's better than this one.
Well, you got to look at it. Like Mad Max Fury Road fully deserves film editing, and most of Martin Scorsese's movies all deserve film editing.
Yeah,
it's does Hacksaw Ridge? Sure, the last act of it does, but most of Arrival deserved it more. La La Land wasn't edited interestingly at all. Hell or High Water was not edited interestingly. Moonlight, sure, was interestingly edited.
Yeah.
But Hacksaw Ridge was... I'm just upset, that film in general. Yeah. Let's jump to best VFX.
Yeah.
This made all, like...
Yeah.
No one else had a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Jungle Book definitely deserves it.
Yeah, there's zero chance that any other category would miss.
The only option, I think, would be Kubo and the Two Strings because of how it was made. But even then, that wasn't visual effects. That was how they made it. And so...
And that was... I mean, Kubo is just doomed to be swept under the rug. And, like, that is... It's sad. It's doomed to be swept under the rug.
Jungle Book 100% deserves this.
It's going to be come down as like a landmark in visual effects.
It's gorgeous.
This category
started this whole. I don't know if it is the start. I think it's the start of this whole Disney live action. Right. Right.
It's not the start of it. The start of it was Maleficent.
Oh, okay.
This was the first, in my mind, the first good one.
Yeah. This is the first one where it's like, everybody knows the Jungle Book, and here it is again.
This one also, Cinderella was a beat for beat remake.
I honestly didn't hear anything about Cinderella. I still haven't seen that. But Jungle Book, I heard so much about.
Well, I think Cinderella won best costuming.
Oh.
So VFX, the thing is though, this was the Jungle Book was a clear winner, but this category was filled with movies with great special effects.
Yep. Yeah,
like this. I mean, Deepwater Horizon. In any other year would have won this. Kubo in any other years would have won. Doctor Strange and Rogue One all in any other year would have won this category.
Yeah.
I
feel like VFX are just gonna get better and better as time goes on.
Yep. Best original song. The Oscars spent way too much time on best, like all these performances.
Yeah.
Of these best original songs that need to.
Yeah.
I mean, City of Stars won, obviously.
Yeah. I'm upset. That's not even the best one.
Nope. Not the best La La Land song. La La Land getting two nominations is dumb anyways.
Yeah.
This was just
Audition wasn't even the best one.
This was just a really bad category. Nothing from Sing Street, where the entire Sing Street soundtrack was better than every single song nominated for best original song. I'm not even joking.
Stop the feeling from... Imagine if Trolls had won an Oscar.
It would have made sense. I'm just like, every single... the entirety of the soundtrack from Sing Street is better than every single song nominated for best original song this year, which is really upsetting. Let's talk best original score.
Best original score. La La Land won it, of course.
That was a really obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the best this year.
Yeah. I don't think Passengers should have been on this.
None of them should have been.
I don't think.
Jackie and Lion's fine. Passengers fine.
Moonlight,
I know.
I don't think Moonlight was like.
It wasn't that special to me.
It wasn't that special. Yeah. La La Land. I mean, the score
La La Land,
makes
no,
sense.
La La Land scores great, but it's all. But like, Johan Johansson not being nominated is so upsetting to me because that is the best score I've heard in years.
Yeah.
So is the one from Deepwater.
Yeah.
Deepwater Horizon score is fantastic, and those
I don't remember the score standing out in Deepwater, but
I like listen to it when I work on homework.
Oh wow!
Like I think it's that good.
Whoa!
And even the Conjuring 2 score was good. Those are the ones I remember the most: La La Land, Conjuring 2, Arrival, and Deepwater Horizon.
Yeah,
only one of which was nominated for best original score. They usually just kind of go with, oh, what movies that were nominated had good scores? Oh, I didn't know. And then for some reason, Passengers is thrown in there. Okay, let's start the best foreign language film. We already talked about those two. Jump into best animated.
Zootopia. I voted for Zootopia.
I'm just upset that Kubo didn't win. I mean, I know it wasn't going to, but
yeah,
it makes me upset that this is finally this is the best Laika's ever done, and still
I think
nothing.
In terms of the actual animation techniques, I think Kubo had a better animation technique
by far.
It was stop motion. It was amazing, but. In terms of the story, I don't think Kubo had a great story.
I disagree, but we can get into that at another time.
Yeah.
All right, big ones. Screenplay. Best original screenplay went to Manchester by the Sea.
Best original screenplay. I can believe that. I can support that.
By far the best screenplay this year. Best adapted went to Moonlight.
Yeah.
Well, the screenplay...
When Moonlight won this, I thought, okay.
That's what I did. That's why I was like weird, confused when La La Land won.
Yeah.
All right, and now
supporting.
No, cinematography. I think I predicted all Big Five.
I predicted the Big Four.
Best cinematography.
I didn't predict cinematography.
I wanted Arrival to win, but La La Land won, obviously.
Yeah.
All right, now the Big Five are supporting actor and support. Big Six: supporting actor, director, picture.
Yeah.
I got all six of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, best supporting actor.
Mahershala. Yeah. I think all these categories are pretty obvious this year.
Moonlight, yeah, he killed it.
Yep, he's one of the best parts of that film.
Oh, yeah.
Supporting actress, I mean, it was...
I haven't seen Fences.
But I think it was kind of obvious Viola Davis was going to win this.
She's a great actress. I think she deserves... Is this her first Oscar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that leading up to this was very obvious that she would win that.
Yeah.
Best director, Chazelle. That was... I think that was entirely obvious. He was... I think his direction is the best part about La La Land.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the story, but I think it's his direction.
I had La La Land down him as best director, but I also thought Barry Jenkins should win.
I think he was good. Yeah. I think that Lonergan should have won.
Yeah.
For Manchester, Villeneuve could have won. Gibson shouldn't have been nominated.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I just don't like Mel Gibson. Best actress... Emma Stone, La La Land. This was just a bad category in my mind.
This was not. I don't think these. She won of these five. Yes,
she won because she won because Viola Davis wasn't nominated.
Viola Davis wasn't nominated, and Amy Adams.
Yeah, that too. If Amy Adams was nominated, I would have given her the win instantly.
Yeah,
but Viola, and also if Viola Davis was in that category, it would have been over.
Yeah,
like she was like that's that.
And she won supporting for a reason.
But like on top of that, also. Hurt she wasn't necessarily a supporting actress in that film. Best actor, Casey Affleck. This was an up in the air. Some people thought Denzel.
Some people thought Garfield was really good in
Hurt. Oh no, he wasn't.
I don't know. I've heard. I mean, I just
everyone says I disagree. I thought he was not good. I mean, thought he was fine. Yet, so I don't think he was a best actor. Okay, Gosling. You can say your things, but like Gosling was way better than Garfield was in Hacksaw.
Yep.
And then the big one of the night, Best Picture. We already talked about the whole snafu. Moonlight won. I called Moonlight from the start.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So how many did you get?
Out of the, I think I got 11 that I guessed were going to win and 9 that, or 10 that I wanted to win that actually did win.
I got 13 called. I got 13 out of 21 for winning. As for wanted to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, seven.
What's the 21st eight. Category?
21st category?
I don't know.
Yeah. I got 8 that I wanted to.
You got 13 correct.
That's Matt got 16, which is pretty impressive.
That's impressive. That we're going to win?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, that's that. I don't know about you, Josh, but I've got a lot of work today, so I think we should wrap.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap up on the show today. Let's talk about release next week. Will be, I think the big one is.
Can we talk about what came out this week?
We already talked about what came out this week.
Yep.
Kong Skull Island.
That comes out next weekend. Wow.
Yep. That's the big one for next weekend. For Blu-ray, we have for next week Incarnate, Jackie, The Eyes of My Mother, and Moana.
Oh, Moana comes out. Cool.
I'm not the biggest fan of Moana.
Yeah.
But I want to see The Eyes of My Mother. I hear it's a really, really...
What is it?
It's a disturbing horror film, so yes, you won't be watching it.
I will.
We don't have VOD for this week, but let's talk quickly box office, because then we'll have to head out and make this a quick show.
Guys, highest grossing of the year is 50 Shades Darker. Come on, guys.
No, really?
Yeah. Beat out XXX by 1 million.
Oh, wait. We don't have the box office out yet. All right. Well, we'll talk about the box office next weekend.
Not next weekend.
Oh, when we come back. So we're going to be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll be back. We'll have tons of reviews for you guys. We'll have a lot of different segments. So thank you guys so much for watching. This has been Animatronic Dinosaurs with Ali Rosen.
And Joshua Nolan.
And Matt Peters previously. And thank you guys. Whoop. There we go.
See you next.